In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. If you didn't know otherwise, you might think that today is Arbor Day, or Agricultural Heritage Day, or even Avian Appreciation Day. All this talk of seeds and planting and trees and birds in the reading from Ezekiel and the Gospel from Mark. And in our Gospel today, we have two parables about planting. Jesus tells first a parable about how seeds grow on their own after being sown in the ground. And then he tells the parable of the mustard seed. The mustard seed is found in Matthew and Luke as well as Mark. It seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? The mustard seed is the tiniest of seeds, and yet it grows into a bush so huge. It's like a tree, except it doesn't, actually. And the mustard seed isn't the tiniest of all seeds. Both orchid and cypress seeds are smaller. There are not tree-sized mustard bushes. They don't grow that big. Black mustard, for example, if cultivated in perfect conditions, tops out at 8 to 10 feet. And that's not much of a tree. Well, where I come from, I understand in Texas, that's a tree of some size. Some varieties of mustard don't grow very big at all. The mustard that grows in the Galilee region, where Jesus was living and teaching and healing, produces a bush no more than a foot tall. So what's going on? Is Jesus just making stuff up? Or is there something different happening here besides allusions to agrarian realities? The nature of parables is that they are not allegories. Every element in a parable is not a stand-in for something else. Parables are means of comparison. They are open-ended. They have many possible interpretations. They have, as New Testament scholar Amy Jill Levine reminds us, a surplus of meaning. What we hear, what meaning we make of it, how we understand that meaning, and how we apply that meaning or not, are all dependent on us. In every one of Jesus' parables, even the ones that are only one sentence long, there is something surprising. Sometimes surprisingly shocking. Sometimes surprisingly funny. Well, I should say, for the original hearers of Jesus' parables, there was something surprising in every one of them. 20 centuries down the road, most of us have probably heard all Jesus' parables, and especially ones like the mustard seed, so often that they don't really shock us or jolt us into some new understanding about God, the world, or ourselves. But in the first century, they packed a powerful punch, and they were a very familiar teaching tool in the Jewish traditions of which Jesus was a part. For first century hearers of Jesus' parables, these surprises would have been like big, jagged rocks too sharp to hold on to. For most of us, these short stories by Jesus are worn smooth like pebbles, so familiar. And whether they challenge us or comfort us, and they may do both at different times in each of our lives, we have heard them before, and we can often manage to avoid really listening to them again. So, what is surprising for us today about a small seed growing into a useful plant in which the birds of the air can find rest? I think the answer may be in the implied role of humans in the mustard seed parable. Jesus said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth." When sown upon the ground, somehow the tiniest of seeds must be placed in the earth. Someone has to sow the seed. Once we realize that out, figure that out, or remember it, it is pretty straightforward. And today's gospel gives us at least two opportunities to grasp this truth. For we have not only the parable of the mustard seed, but also the less famous parable of the growing seed at the beginning of the passage. It says, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, but the person does not know how." Perhaps the surprising thing for us is that we don't have to do everything, but we do have to do our part. And what is that? In the two parables we have today, the part of humans is planting the seed and getting out of the way. God has created a world in which seeds will quietly, secretly, almost imperceptibly germinate and grow in the dark of the good earth. In due course, in the right conditions, seeds become full-grown plants. In the case of mustard seed, a tiny seed we might not even see unless we are looking closely, it produces a plant that brings us something tasty to eat and that has medicinal properties. Some of you may recall a healing mustard poultice placed upon your chest, and also a plant that benefits other species besides us. We don't have to do everything, but we have to do, we need to do, we are invited to do our part. Not our part and everyone else's part. Not our part and God's part, as if we could. It puts me in the mind of a phrase from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 9. We are laborers together with God. Cum Deo laboramus. We work with God, and God works with us, and with the rest of the creation God has made. What is my part? What is your part? What is our part? In this ministry context, at this particular time, what is God inviting us to do together with God and each other and the wider community? This is what we are discerning together. And according to the letter of agreement, which is Episcopal speak for contract, between me as the rector, 1 week, yesterday, the rector, between me and the vestry of St. Paul's, within my first 60 days in this office, I am to prepare and present to the vestry a personal ministry plan for my work here. And within the first 120 days, the vestry and I are together to co-create a parish ministry plan for our work as a congregation. The letter of agreement also says both plans may be revised and amended according to need and circumstance as time goes on. And this is all good news. It's not one and done. We don't have to figure it out perfectly at the beginning. We can together create strategies, run experiments, see what works and what doesn't, what's needed and what's not, and continue to reiterate even as we move forward. So, in community with each other and in conversation with the wider community in which we are embedded, we will together discern what our work is and what it is not. And with God as our companion and co-laborer, we will be about it. It is impossible to do everything. And this is good news, not bad news. For we are not called as individuals or as a congregation to do everything. We are called to do our part. The needful things, the particular things which are called for here now. And we begin by honestly and prayerfully discerning what our part is. And thus we can affirm the confident testimony of the second reading today from the second letter to the Corinthians. We make it our aim to please God, and we find the love of Christ urges us on. With all this in mind, the collect of the day is worth praying again. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Keep, O Lord, your household, the church, in your steadfast faith and love, that through your grace we may proclaim your truth with boldness and minister your justice with compassion. For the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.